Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright
with tonight's guest, we'll author, therapist, and public speaker, Emily Graham.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Nick Everly. I am Mark Lejeure, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Under One Roof, that is the big book we're going to be talking about today with our guest, Emily Graham. And the subtitle is Creating Harmony for Multi-Generational Living. I remember a few years ago, several years ago, I don't remember how long ago it was when I first heard that word, multi-generational, and living, multi-generational living. And I had to pause for a moment because the word to me made it sound like this wasn't a normal thing. And by then, it definitely was not a normal thing because I grew up thinking it was a normal thing. I grew up with having a mother and a father, brothers and sisters, and a grandmother living at home. And for a while, two grandmothers, and we kids loved it and were really saddened when one of the grandmothers chose to live someplace else. Well, chose to go back home, actually. We just wanted her to stay forever. It for us kids meant so much to have parents and grandparents. There were members of our family or our social group. There was family and social group. We're going to talk about that too. There was community. Our families and our extended families, some of them lived really close to all of their families. And some of us were jealous or sad that we didn't have that same situation where family would come over all the time, or they would literally be right next door or a block down. And this is for, you know, families that get along, but even when they didn't get along, they figured out a way to get along when they had to, or whatever the case may be. They always seemed to be there when it really mattered, even when they didn't get along. And then lastly, I'll mention that some families lived on top of each other, like New York or other big cities where they literally bought the place on top and the other. And so families were growing up seemed like many families were together. They supported each other. And there was a period, and when I'm made to think about it, where it kind of became old-fashioned, not sure why, and where we were told that growing up and going to college far away was good, and living far away from the family was good, and being close to the family was not. It was actually frowned upon. And hence, potentially, a lot of the reason why we are needing to learn how to live under one roof and create harmony for multi-generational living. I can't wait to bring on our guest and have her speak on this subject. She's an author, she's a public speaker, and she is, we're gonna get into more of what she is here when I introduce Emily Graham to the Life Changes Show. Welcome, Emily.
Hello, thank you. Oh, it's so good to be here. And I just love hearing that it was your experience, Filippo, that you lived in a multi-generational home.
Except I didn't know it. It was family. And you know, to that point, actually, we also knew people who took people in who didn't have family, whether it was kids or whether it was older people. And so we're going to be talking about all of that. So thank you that we have this book and as a focal point for this conversation. So you're a therapist on top of all this. Is there therapy that has come because people have not had multi-generational living potentially, and maybe for people that have had?
Well, it oftentimes therapy is a great space for people to work out relationship issues. And many people do that in therapy. And so it is a place where people can go and speak about maybe if they are living with people, you know, how to work out getting along. So the book kind of slips into what I do for a living, but my contribution to the book, as there are three authors, I'm one of them, my father's a second, and a colleague of mine from the hospital I work for is the third. And my contribution is focused on hospice, palliative care, end of life and grief, as I spent about 10 years professionally in hospice and palliative medicine.
Wow. Yeah. What a field, and how important that is. And actually, so all of this ties in beautifully because end of life is a time when how one has lived or with whom one has lived or with whom one is living is even more important, right?
Correct. And you know, you already made a good point at the beginning here, Filippo. Maybe we could end the interview right now. As you said, this isn't a new concept. It is a renaissance. You know, we are very aware that multi-generational living is not something we came up with creatively. We had our own personal family story about it. And I can tell you more about that if you want to hear it. But we wanted to put together this guidebook where, you know, people can turn to this book for as a reference in thinking about whether or not they need to combine their wealth because of the varying difficulties in finding housing, or, you know, they've got aging parents or they've got childcare issues, all of these things that are, you know, social issues. And we're just saying, hey, multi-generational living is one of those ways. And my aunt did a great amount of qualitative research. She has since died, but she was in the first, she wrote the first two editions with my father. And it was spawned from having a brother that was sick and they had to take care of him. And he went in and out of nursing homes. And she was like, we got to find a better way. So she interviewed families across the United States and did qualitative research on the subject and came up with, you know, what makes it work, basically. So there are stories riddled throughout the book of people, actual conversations she interviewed to give you more of a sense of just the conversation about it and how humane the idea is.
So I like that, and those words right there, the conversation about it, because it is a conversation. Of course, communication is very key. And it is a conversation that I'm really glad we're having, because some people are experiencing this because of necessity. And at the same time, there are also others that are experiencing it out of potentially compassion or guilt that they don't want to put a family member in a nursing home, right?
Yeah. There's all kinds of good reasons to consider this. One of those is, you know, the aim, I'm sure the book is really targeted towards baby boomers and Gen Xers. You know, the baby boomers really don't, most of them would probably say they don't put me in a nursing home. And we're looking at, you know, I think it's about 18% of boomers make up the population. So they're 65 and older. And, you know, we're living longer. There's all kinds of social and societal reasons. The living together again is a good way to deal with some of the issues that we have as a society. And you know, there's practicalities. The book is broken up into four parts, and we do kind of an overview of what's been going on, you know, in our society maybe over the past 20 years or so. And then we move into discussing why multi-generational living, the benefits of it, and then the practicalities, and then finally the challenges. And you know, we brought in the end of life piece because a lot of people are not familiar with hospice and palliative care, and they have a lot of feelings around it. And I wanted to provide insight to people that it's not that big, scary thing. It can actually be quite supportive if done right. And that's just one aspect of what is going on in our society. And we're all aging. We're all moving towards the end. So, you know, incorporating, you know, an aspect of dying well, it's important to bring up as a conversation while many people don't want to have it.
Right. And back to that there you brought up so many different aspects, and one thing for sure, there are benefits, and it also can be hard, especially since if somebody is ill and you experience that yourself personally, Emily. The thing that I think is interesting that I have noticed is I've become a life coach and work with many people over the years. One of the things I do talk about is, what is your home life like? Who do you live with? Who's your family? Who's your community? Like, who do you consider in your inner circle? And I, in all of that, the issues that people seem to work out when they are in multi-generational living or living with groups of people, if they aren't living with groups of people, they seem to find those issues elsewhere in a sense, because if they have to figure something out, their life's going to take them there. Do you resonate with what I'm saying?
I really do. It's like, you know, so how do I approach this? Let me say this, that, you know, not everyone, you know, dies on hospice or palliative care. And, you know, there's all kinds of ways life ends. But, you know, my point of view is that is if we can prepare, just prepare, have conversations with people about what it is you want and what you don't want, you're removing a burden of sorts off of those people that love you by having deeper conversations about the subject. And, you know, if someone lives alone, so I'm a different perspective to the book. I am a single person. I don't have children. I've never been married. And I spent a decade in hospice and saw a lot of stuff. And so it's kind of heightened my sensitivity to thinking about what would I do at end of life? Who's going to help me? And so this book is kind of a map that you can actually, in my mind, apply to other types of communities, like you know, I've explored different settings with friends. We've had many conversations, those of us that don't have families and kids, maybe we're going to get places together. You know, there's different ideas you can explore. And this book is really, really calling forward being collaborative and creative within your family or within the context of your community.
You know, I like what you're saying there for those that are either single or widowed or don't have family, et cetera. When you, I've heard a lot of people say we're going to get places together or nearby each other, and I think sometimes it's possible, sometimes it's not. But I think, like, why not do it now? Like, if it's, you know, instead of at that time of need. Maybe there's a different need, which now goes to the conversation about the benefits of people potentially that like each other or care for each other living together. What are some of the benefits? Because we all know the horror stories.
Right. Yeah. Well, Ben, you're absolutely right. Benefits are, you know, if there's relational benefits, there's like you experience knowing your grandmother, there's if you have grandchildren interacting with their grandparents, they're building a bond and a web and memories together. They're that can give space for the parents to go out if they want. Childcare is expensive. So if there's a grandparent on in the house or in an ADU, a unit outside of the house, they can be accessed, you know, by walking through the backyard, and it just creates more connection, which is one of the things that a lot of people have been complaining about, you know, over the past several years, especially after the pandemic, is the isolation people experienced and felt. And I think we're just now all kind of facing, like, what do we do? What are we doing next? We all want to somehow connect again, but how are we going to do that? And if you don't get along with your family, but you get along with other people, friends, you can utilize these ideas with that group of people as well. But I would first say it's connection, community, and it would really help with removing this idea of feeling lonely and isolated.
So important. We're going to break for a quick commercial, but when we come back, it would be great to touch on some of these baby boomers, as you said, or even the prior generation, as they got older, a lot of them I've known have felt that they weren't given anything. So the phrase give back doesn't really work for them. It's like, it's time for you to give back. Well, like I never was given anything. So why am I giving back? So, but you brought something up when we were talking that sounded to me like mentorship, like giving, which helps us ourselves when we give, right? And so a way of giving, like your father is giving as well to you, you were saying. So when we come back, more on this conversation of multi-generational living based on the work and the book of our guest, Emily Graham. Under One Roof is the book. And Emily is, well, we have her link actually, and we'll talk more about how to reach her, but we have her link at the Life Changes Show. We're gonna have our Ask Dorothy segment after our interview, and then right after that, our performance guest, Nick Kennerly, is with us today. Very exciting show and very important. We'll be right back here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition right after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety, but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All five beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi meditation. Phi meditation helps you harness the power of I am for intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi beads at phibeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, beads.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on the Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back. I am Filippo, and our guest is author, therapist, public speaker, and so much more, Emily Graham. We're talking about the book Under One Roof. Under One Roof, which she co-authored. And Emily, in your bio, you say how you always were curious in human behavior and understanding people's actions and hearts and inner worlds. You went on to get a master in all that, a master in social work and a master in spiritual psychology, along with becoming a licensed clinical social worker and so many more certifications, etc. So why do you think this has always been an interest and your contribution is as it grows?
Well, oh gosh, such an awesome question. And I could talk for hours. And so try to be succinct because I know we have very short time and I want to hear the performer and Dorothy. So it's so exciting to be here. But, you know, I'm like you mentioned, I'm a therapist, I'm many things, but I'm also an artist and I'm always looking as an artist for things to inspire me. And, you know, I feel like therapy is a art and art of human behavior and interacting with different people and hearing their stories. And my clients inspire me. People in general are fascinating if you just take time and hear their stories. But this week, I found myself turning on the TV and I came across the show or a segment on the news about the Kobe Bryant unveiling of his statue. And I tell you, Filippo, it's really strange. I was so inspired. And I wasn't a Kobe fan. I'm from LA and I love the Lakers, but I wasn't like, you know, a super, super fan. It inspired me to go see the statue this past weekend. And I want to share a quote with you because it made me think about my aunt. And it actually answers the question you asked me before we left, which was about contribution. So here's the quote that Kobe, it's a Kobe quote, and it's on the side of his statue. It says, "Leave the game better than you found it. And when it comes time for you to leave, leave a legend." And, you know, Filippo, that quote just rang through my body. Like, what does that mean to me? And what it means to me is like, wherever I go and whoever I talk to, leave it a better situation if I can, you know, leave the space better than I found it. And then the part about leave a legend, it's like we each have something to contribute. You know, I'm always fascinated by all the different things people do. And like my contribution to this book is a small portion of the book. My dad's body of work's in here and my aunt. And my aunt, Sharon Niederhaus, rest in peace. You know, she left in my eyes a legend because she made a commitment to, you know, people at the end of life and considering aging and this whole topic. She left a legend And she left her body of work behind, and I'm just part of carrying that baton onward. It's a legacy project in my eyes. And I'll just finally say, people can do that within their family, whether it be living together, whether you're doing a project with your kids, whether you're, finding a way to share your wealth with your kids now and doing things together and going on trips. It's like the time is now. The time is now for connection. And that's really what's been inspiring me lately. So I'm just honored to be here tonight. And thank you for giving us a time to share our book.
Well, Emily, you made an impression on our producer, Mark. I know that you all were part of a community event, right? Where How to Build Community, was it?
It was so funny. Mark came out just for a couple hours. I was at a retreat that we were doing a mock retreat out at a property in Hemet. This guy's amazing. I forget the name of it. Mark can tell you, but he probably knows. But he was like, he bought a piece of land and he was regenerating it. It used to be like a trash landfill, and he like cleared it out. And the idea was to have, people come and live on the property and have it be a communal environment. And so like that's how I met Mark. It was brief, but I was exploring. I didn't know why I was there. I was just exploring what this guy was doing and being a part of it and seeing what people are talking about when it comes to taking care of each other and community and living together and aging, all of those things.
And it actually dovetails perfectly into this conversation because we've actually had him on the show, and I can't think of his name to look him up real quick. But that's exactly, he's doing it his way. You're talking about doing it your way. And you're also saying, here are some ideas of how some people are doing it, and that's in the book. So,
Yes.
contribution also, while we're here, for those who are either retired or have a pause, or when I hear older people, especially who are retired, let's say they're bored or something, I think to myself, I think, Emily, to my experience growing up, teach a young kid something,
Yes.
do
And
something for a busy mom or
yeah,
dad.
I love it. It's well, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, I dealt with a lot of people over the 10 years, helping people cross over and then, those left behind, their families and a lot of spouses. And they would be just lost without their partner. And what it really is about is like people want to contribute something they want to be a part of. And by bringing an older person into under your roof, they have a world of knowledge that's untapped that can be funneled down to the little ones in different ways through storytelling, through just being around them. And it gives them more reason to keep their life force going. It's like staying in the game basically, and the game of life. And when people feel valued and utilized and tapped in for what their wisdom and knowledge is, it drives a longer line, if that makes sense. And that's what I'm trying to deduct from that quote I shared, that quote, Kobe quote, is that each person, you have something to share that I don't, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's why each person's just like incredibly interesting to me. It's like, what do you have to offer? And what do you want to leave? And what do you want to do? And who do you want to be? And yeah,
So
like,
one of the things that I saw that the book touches on from the various different stories, which is great because it like a couple of the stories take a twist or a turn, say, oh, I didn't expect that, or they said it. So there were the people that that live together or don't live together, but they stay in communication or they support each other this way or that way. And especially nowadays with so many different ways of having to connect and be able to see each other on Zoom or, you know, or Skype or whatever it is, right? There are different ways of connecting and being a part of each other's life.
Yes. Yes. And our book will give you all that you need to know with the different types of housing configurations. We talk about that in here. We talk about, you know, what you need to do with the city, if you're going to build something, like all of that's in the book. It is, like I said, I feel like it's a good guide, reference, like a Bible if I were to use the word, for the topic of multi-generational living. It's like the phone book. It's going to have everything you need in here to see if it's right for you. Because it isn't, you mentioned it too. It's not right for everybody. That's okay. You know,
definitely isn't. And for those of us who might be born into it or it, and it just happened or that those things are that kind of an experience could be right too. As a matter of fact, it could be even more right. You find yourself with a group of friends and, you know, after college, or you find yourself with let's just move in until you find a place. And how often has that happened, that someone never moved out? We know the horror stories, but we also know the positive. We're the positive ones are here too, right?
That's right.
And just because it's positive doesn't mean it doesn't also come with situations, because we're human and because the world is moving so fast and there's this and there's so many different, there are so many different things to know and take care of. So this is a good guide to, and if this comes up, or have you thought of this, right?
Right. I mean, I'm sure, you know, I don't know about you, but I have a lot of friends starting to go through navigating parents with health challenges. And, you know, if you got a parent across town in L.A. at a skilled nursing facility that you have to go to every day and you're driving an hour and a half, you start to think differently about what's best. You know, change based on what you have to do and what's going on, you know. So it's like flexibility, it's collaboration, it's creativity, it's openness, it's and being, you know. And the other thing is, if you move through a difficult, you know, a real difficult time, that real difficult time isn't going to be forever. It will be for a period of time. People get through, but can you, you know, prepare as much as possible so things are not as stressful, and you can make it fun, you know?
And, you know, I have heard more and more lately, like I've heard for years how I have to go, my wife's at home or my husband's at home, or I have to go, my kids are at home. And now I'm hearing, I have to go, my mom's been home alone all day, something, or my dad. And I it actually feels nice, and I support that.
Yep.
It's changing the conversation.
Yep. I agree.
And what's cool, I'm loving this. Emily K. Graham is where you can find her at Linktree, or we have her link up on the Life Changes Show page, or EKG therapy. You know, it took me a moment actually when I first read that. EKG, aren't you clever, for Emily K. Graham. Therapy.com is her website. Again, the book is Under One Roof. Emily, what more, as we close our conversation, anything that you want to make sure that is touched on that we haven't?
Just a big thank you for having me on your show, for giving this subject space. And I just have really enjoyed talking with you. I feel like I could talk to you more. I feel like, you know, there's a lot of different things I could talk about, and I just love the idea. Maybe another time we'll be able to talk about, you know, the creative process. I think the creative process is fascinating, and I love to talk to people about that. And you know, I guess I'll just lastly say this would be a great, it's a great gift to boomers, because I'll be honest with you, there's people that are really, they don't want to move yet, but they need to move. And this kind of starts maybe getting the ball rolling. You know, we talk a lot about in here about where maybe thinking about it by like age 70, if you're going to leave a particular community or you're in to go somewhere else, because moving's hard. So I'll end there.
I'm glad you mentioned that, actually, because that's from the other side. I didn't even think of it. We haven't talked about it. For those who may are maybe considering moving in with the kids or something, that's a great point. So really great. Wow. So Under One Roof kind of covers everything under one roof. So thank you, Emily. Thank you for bringing this conversation to the world and here on the Life Changes Show. It's been a pleasure having you on, Emily Graham and Emily K. Graham. The book is available where books are sold. And again, we have her link at the Life Changes Show page. All the best to you, Emily. I feel like we're going to connect. Yeah, we're going to have talked about your singing and all that. You know, we'll connect. I have a feeling. And I look forward to it. All right. All the best.
You too.
All right. Ciao, ciao. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy question. Dear Dorothy, this is April, and I am grateful for the assistance you gave me a few weeks ago. And now I need some more advice. My family is consistently telling me what they think I should be doing instead of supporting me in my choice to do my healing work. I am very good at helping others see their potential and being happier with their choices, and love doing my healing work, and I earn good money doing it. My family wants me to go back to helping them in their tax business because I am very good at that. And yet, doing the tax work does not bring me joy. I love my family, and I want to know how I can get them to agree with my choice. I deserve to be happy doing the work I love.
Dear April, once again, I'm reminding you that the only things we can control or change are our thoughts, words, and actions. Getting your family to support your decision might not be possible, as we can't change anyone but ourselves. I feel that your healing gifts are amazing and much needed, so I applaud you for you doing your work and loving it. And I'm so happy that you have found your calling. It may be time for you to have another conversation with your family and thank them for their offer and decline it once again. And please tell them how much you love them and appreciate the fact that they like your tax work. And you are very glad that you helped in the past, but that you need to enjoy your work and that you have found what you want to do. More than likely, they might not agree with your choice, and that is okay. What is not okay is for you to agree doing something that you don't like doing, especially since you have found a way to earn money doing something you love. A helpful way for you to make peace with your decision could be for you to recite the amazing serenity prayer whenever you feel challenged by their demands. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. This lovely prayer could assist you in finding the peace you deserve. I trust you will love yourself enough to make the best choices possible.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, simply write askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com. And we'll be right back with our performance guest, violinist and singer-songwriter Nick Kennerly, here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition, right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We are back. Our performance guest is a violinist and a singer-songwriter. I think I should say guitarist, too, actually. It's not written here, but right, Nick?
Yeah, you could say that. Chordal guitarist.
Very much guitarist. But he's performed with alongside so many renowned artists like Elton John and David Crosby and John Fogerty, all these people you would know. And I had a chuckle when I read that. At first, I was impressed, Nick. And then I thought, oh, and I had the pleasure of performing next to Nick. Thanks to Chris Murphy and Tea House Music Company. We got to perform together a couple times, and hopefully soon a lot more times.
Absolutely, yeah. And shout out Chris Murphy for connecting us. That was a fun gig we did.
Indeed. So welcome to the Life Changes Show. You bring something that's really different and really interesting, and we'll talk about it a little later. But some of the stories you shared, it's like, this is kind of makes sense. This kind of makes sense. So let's start with, you got great stories. So let's start with one of them is how you started with the violin.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I was very lucky to have a wonderfully supportive mom who wanted to expose me to music at a very young age. Probably the first symphony she took me to, I was about 3 years old.
Wow.
There used to be, the kids symphony. I'm not sure if they still do it. I hope they do. And
I hope so.
It was through the LA Phil, and they basically had these shorter concerts that you could, you know, bring your kids to. And she took me to those pretty regularly, and I became obsessed with this one violinist that was playing in the front row, and little three-year-old me begged her to get me a violin, and I told her I was obsessed with this violinist and that I needed to play myself. And after about a year of nagging, when I was about four going on five, finally she gave in, and she had my dad get a tiny little violin from China. And it was a moment of synchronicity because we learned there was a violin teacher literally right across the street from my house. And so I started lessons with her, stuck with it over the years. I had another, her name was Donna. Big shout out, Donna. I had another amazing teacher later on in middle school, going into high school, named Julia. she was incredible. And yeah, and then we were going around to audition for different colleges, and I was taking a lot of auditions all over the country, and finally we got an audition here with this incredible violinist named Bing Wong, who plays in the LA Phil, and she was just going to be starting her first year at USC teaching there. And it was just instantly the best fit. We really got on well. And the full circle moment of the story is that she ended up being the violinist that I saw and was inspired by as a four-year-old. And I didn't even know that. My mom and I put two and two together after we had already chosen to go with her and for me to go to USC. And we had this like crazy moment.
Wow. Crazy moment for sure. Wow. Speaking of crazy moments, you have gone on to write your own music, and we're going to get to hear some in just a little bit. But what's that like watching for you? What was it like for you? Like, you're watching one of the biggest hit shows, ABC's Modern Family, right? And your song comes on, right? Actually, on more than one. But what was that like?
Yeah, that was honestly a very surreal moment. I don't even know how it really happened. I was referred by a teacher at USC, and basically I got a call from the music supervisor, or the music casting person, whatever you call her. Her name's Christine Day, absolutely fantastic woman. And, basically at first I was just supposed to be an on-screen musician, I think just like miming. And then she was like, hey, actually we need a fiddle piece. Why don't you try writing something, and you know, we'll just see what happens. And so I wrote a fiddle piece with a friend of mine, and they absolutely loved it. And all of a sudden I had a song on Modern Family, and then that led to me basically writing another song, more of like a Irish jig kind of style piece a few years later that also got on the show. So I was very, very lucky and very grateful to Christine Day for giving me the opportunity.
Good on you. And then there was HBO's Veep and Netflix, The Politician. I mean, you go, Nick. So actually, I'm debating you. You tell me. There's a great story that goes with this first song, and I'm wondering, should we hear the song first, then you tell us the story?
Yeah, for sure. Let's do that.
Okay. Well, since that's the case, well, we're going to get to hear Nick live. Now, actually, we do want to know what you're going to be doing, because this is live, and you're going to be doing more than one thing. So we're going to get to hear Nick Kennerly perform live this song, Fell Flat, and then we're going to learn more about the song. But what are you going to be doing?
Cool. Yeah, actually, I'll give the backstory. I think it'd actually add to it.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm gonna be playing guitar, singing this song that I wrote, and then I'm gonna be live looping guitar and violin at the end of the song. So everything you're hearing is gonna be live, and you can just think of it like an orchestra that is being created on the spot. And yeah, this song was inspired by a very challenging time that I went through. And I had a few years ago, I got really heavily into gambling, and I developed a gnarly gambling addiction, lost tons and tons of money, basically lost everything many, many times, took on a ton of debt, got myself in a really bad situation. And this was in 2021 that this song was kind of inspired by a time where I was completely broke, and I decided to go and street perform because I needed to do something to get me back up on my feet. And so I was playing in Venice, and I just had this serene moment where, you know, I totally screwed up my life, but I was there in Venice playing my instrument, watching the ocean, feeling the breeze, and people were being generous. And I just had a moment of gratitude and a feeling of, wow, you know, as long as I keep following the music, that everything's going to be okay. And so thus, this song fell flat, emerged.
Wow. We'll get to hear it here on the Life Changes Show. Here's Nick Kennerly and Fell Flat live.
I fell flat on my face, the dirt kissed my lips. I was playing for tips on the boardwalk, watching the sunset. And the ocean breeze, I play with my eyes closed, let the high tide have its way. Won't you hold on anyway? Hold on anyway. Hold on anyway. Oh, anyway. Oh, anyway. Hold on anyway. Hold on anyway. Hold on anyway. Oh, anyway. Oh, anyway. Raindrops falling on my head. I don't care to stay dry. I find a few different highs. It's only when, never why. I need a new kind of life. Flowers losing their petals. I wish they would bloom again. Or even just a different trend. A distant friend. Falling out of nowhere. I know you keep me too. I'm black, black and blue. But won't you hold on anyway? Hold on anyway, hold on anyway, oh anyway, oh anyway, hold on anyway, hold on, hold on anyway, oh anyway, oh anyway, oh, oh, hold on, won't you hold on?
Wow. Nick Kennerly. Wow, Nick. Okay, I'm going to spell that N-I-C-K and then Kennerly, K-E-N-N-E-R-L-Y. You can find him on Instagram as Nick Kennerly. We've got his Spotify link and his a YouTube video. Nick.
Yes, you nailed it.
What?
You nailed the name. It's not the easiest.
So. You... not going to tell me you learned how to sing like that from your violin teacher.
No, definitely not. I haven't had a ton of vocal lessons, but
wow.
I have taken some here and there over the years. Specifically a wonderful teacher, named Diana Kahn. Years ago, she was amazing. Shout out Diana. And then Jeffrey Allen, at USC was, the most recent, and Jeffrey was also amazing. So big shout out to those two.
So I was having this moment where I'm, you know, you were talking about how the Modern Family thing came about. You got called on to play the violin and then you ended up, or mime the violin. And then you ended up writing a song. Well, you were called on, Justin Bieber's record and well, a bunch of other people. And so, if you would have just sung in the background, I think a vocal would have ended up on the album too.
Hey, we're getting there. We're getting there bit by bit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice. Okay.
My next whole journey now is manifesting myself as getting in the room as an artist as opposed to just the session guy. So yeah, I'm glad that you can feel that.
I feel that. And you know what? Just a session guy. Being a session guy in this town is not an easy thing. So kudos to you for being a session guy and for everything else that's to come that's good for you. So that being said, we get to hear this other song. As a matter of fact, we all get to hear this song as a world premiere here on the Life Changes Show. Nick, tell us about what we're going to hear next. Embrace You.
Absolutely, yes. So this song, Embrace You, not as crazy or as cool of a story, but basically was just inspired by a relationship that I really rushed into and, said all these intense things and just dove in way too fast and realized quickly thereafter that I wasn't in the right place for it and then had to back out and unfortunately broke somebody else's heart, which is always always an awful thing to do. and yeah, so that's kind of how this came about. And the recording will be released this Thursday on all platforms under my name and co-produced with my good friend Zeke Reed. So here it is.
Yeah, well, here it is live, right? You're going to do it live.
Here it is live, yes. Yeah, here okay. It is live.
Cool, live online here on the Life Changes Show. World premiere, Embrace You, Nick Kennerly.
I don't think my feet are going to warm up today. Type of guy that always throws a good thing away. Falling in love's easy, loving can be the hardest thing. Don't get it twisted, I meant it when I said it. I don't want to bring you down when you baby at the speed of I don't want to give you any wrong impression that I think I'm strong enough to make a slice. Baby, I'll embrace you, and I will erase you. If then I say what's true, I can't be the good guy, even if I could try. Lullaby trapped in my head. got every right to hate me for the wounds that I left. I don't wanna take you down with me, baby, at the speed I'm going, I think I'ma crash. I don't wanna give you any wrong impression, and I think I'm strong enough to make a splash. Baby, I'm the place, yo.
Kennerly, Nick, I really like the unplugged version. I can't wait to hear the fully produced version. Wow.
Thank you so much.
Nicely done. Yeah, nicely done. So Nick Kennerly, K-E-N-N-E-R-L-Y. You can find him on Instagram, Spotify, YouTube. You can find his links at Life Changes Show. Nick, what a pleasure. More power to you.
Thank you so much for having me. Big shout out Life Changes Show. Thank you, Filippo, Kayla, and everyone else involved. Also, Emily Graham. Absolutely love that. I wish I could speak on that as somebody who just finished a construction project with their parents. But that's for another day.
So. Oh, wow. I love that you just said that. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Does everybody have another half hour? Well, maybe for another time. Thank you so much, Nick. All the best to you.
Thank you, Filippo. Thank you, Life Changes Show. This was amazing.
Our pleasure. You're amazing. Nick Kennerly, big thank you. And then another big thank you to Emily Graham. Or Emily K. Graham. And with that, that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeune, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.